It's time for your morning pep talk with Jenna Barr and the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. It's Tuesday, which means it's time for the Garden Line with Mike Wayans. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm better because it's warming up out there. Well, a smidge. Smidge warm. Well,
you know me, Jenna. I love this cold weather.
Oh, yeah. You're running around outside in just shorts. I saw you the other day.
Absolutely. I just love it. I do not love it.
No, and my plants, I'm doing the whole shift, right? Keep them in the sun. Keep them in the sun.
Bring them inside. Take them outside. Cover them. Don't cover them. Oh, yeah. It's the thing.
Just remember when you squat, make sure you bend your knees really good. Use good posture. Tuck in your butt. Listen, if you're going to be moving the plants all over the place, do a good job with your body, too.
It's not worth a bad back.
No, it's not. It's not at all.
Moving those heavy plants. And, of course, I've got some I don't even think about moving. It's not going to happen.
I think that's our next thing is the Garden Line workout.
I think so.
Look at that.
A video.
Get some Olivia Newton-John going.
Yeah. Kind of a two-for-one. You can buy our CD music list and the exercise video.
That's right. Oh, hey, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Garden Line, text in those questions. 850-437-1620 is the text line. That's 437-1620. You can text in pictures as well. We'll make sure that Mike sees them.
Absolutely. We do need, of course, to reinforce, and because we all know this, to do some protection of our plants. It looks like Friday night, maybe into Saturday. I'm not sure about Saturday night or Sunday. We're going to be in the mid to low 30s, and we just need to protect what we've got as best you can. Remember, we're going to drape these plants all the way to the ground. That's important. If you're going to put a sheet over them or a frost blanket or something of that order, you're going to water them first. That's critical. So just be ready for this cold weather because, my goodness, so many of us have nurtured some of these plants all summer long, all spring, summer, fall. And to lose them to a couple nights of frost or freeze is just unfortunate. So we need to take care of what we've got. There's no question about that. And I'm ready for spring. That's all there is to it. Sorry.
It'll be here before we know it. But
It will. It's
going to get pretty. I don't even want to just say chilly. It's going to get actually cold again and won't go above 50. So make sure that you are cozying up your plants outside or just bringing them inside into your entryway or Florida room, whichever one. Again, 850-437-1620. Is the cold weather, or it says, is the cold weather a good time to start spraying some pre-emergence? So I guess is right now a good time to spray pre-emergence?
I'd wait just a little bit. My favorite date, of course, you can work around it, is middle of February, say February 15th. Now, it can be probably first week in February, last week in February, even first week in March. A lot of it depends on what Pensacola's winter and early spring weather is going to be. But, yes, the texture is right on in that we need to get those pre-emergence weed killers on there relatively soon because we all know what they do. They inhibit the weed seeds, the summer weeds, from germinating, from ever becoming weeds, if you will. And if you wait too long, once the weeds are there, then the pre-emergence weed control is not going to do much good. There are many of them out there. Prium is one. Atrazine is one. Atrazine is one that's interesting. It is a good, great. It's one of the classic pre-emergence. But it also has a little bit of post-emergence to it also. But I wouldn't spray atrazine just as a post-emergence. I would use it as a pre-emergence. I always like to put them, to spray them in the middle of, oh, say, November, then wait 90 days to that middle of February. That's kind of the two times I like to do it. Dimension is another one, which is pretty good. It has a little more, less restrictions temperature-wise than some of the other ones, so you can use it at other times of the year. But I really do like that atrazine moving into the middle of February, or whatever pre-emergence you use. But timing is critical. And it may be a cold day like this. It could be overcast, and you'll say, I don't even want to go outside, much less go spray. But it is a good thing to do at that time of year, or coming up really in, what, 3-4 weeks. Yeah.
It'll be here before we know it.
Before we know it.
Spring and spray time.
Exactly right. Jenna, last week we had someone text us and said, what type of citrus should I plant? Mm-hmm. And I think their question was, give me some varieties that I can plant. Well, my good friend Buzz Ritchie, you know Buzz. Buzz comes on the Camellia Show with Skip Vogelsang. Buzz is a great camellia grower, one of the best, but he also grows citrus, and he grows them in these huge pots. I'm going to say at least 25 to 36 inches in diameter, big pots. And so I said, now, Buzz, you have got a backyard full sun, and you grow a lot of citrus. So he sent me a text showing me citrus that he has picked off of his plants within the last couple of weeks. And I said, okay, what I want to know for our listeners, give me some names. Give me some names of citrus when they go to the garden center they can ask for. You've had success with them, and so they should do well here in Pensacola if you've got a place to put them. Huge pots are in the ground where you can protect them from the cold, and full sun. That's very important. So here we go. I only have about five of them. Grapefruits, which, golly, they were so prolific all over Pensacola last year. Ruby red grapefruit is one that he plants, and on this picture that he sent us is some pictures of them. And here's one on oranges. He likes honeybell oranges. I had never, quite frankly, heard that particular name, but he's had much success with that. And of course, we all know key limes. Buzz grows key limes very, very well. That is a staple for Pensacola. If you really want limes, key limes are the best. Tangerines. And matter of fact, Buzz, he and I know some other guys, we do some walking, and, well, we don't do much running anymore, but we do some walking. And he brought me a handful of these tangerines. They're called Dancy, D-A-N-C-Y, Dancy tangerines. So if you can find a Dancy tangerine plant, you know we've got someone here who's had much success with them. And then, of course, another one that's a staple, it's no secret to all of us who enjoy growing citrus, is a Meyer lemon. A Meyer lemon is one that probably is readily available in the local garden centers. And so key limes, Meyer lemons, Dancy tangerines, and honeybell oranges, I don't know. Ruby red grapefruit's probably relatively available. But talk to your garden center guy about that, and if he doesn't have it, maybe he can get them for you. But those are some of the citrus that our good buddy Buzz has grown and have been very successful with. So thought I would pass that on in case someone out there is saying, I'd like to plant a citrus tree, or I've got a gift certificate to a garden center I got for Christmas. I want to plant a citrus tree. Give me a name. Well, those are some names. Ruby red, honeybells, key limes, Dancy tangerines, and Meyer lemons. Pretty good list.
Yeah, Meyer lemons. Having lemons nearby all the time is a good idea. In my eyes. I am looking up all the different citruses that you're mentioning too. And now I know what that orange is that I love buying, but it's kind of a limited time that it's available, the honeybell orange. It's not really available all year round.
Right. Yes.
But they're like a little bit more tart.
That's exactly the word I was going to use.
Is tartar a word?
Same for those Dancy tangerines.
Yeah,
they're a little more tart than some of the other citrus. Exactly.
A little bit more like grapefruity, which I like. I don't like straight grapefruit, to be honest. Yeah. It's a little too much. I have to add some stevia to it if you're going to have grapefruit. My mouth is watering talking about it. But I do love a citrusy, grapefruity flavor because it's very refreshing, invigorating, and it's so good for you. You want to have that vitamin C right by you.
Look, that's exactly right. I know a lot of people, I've talked to a few friends of mine, got juicers for Christmas.
Oh, yes, me too.
And it kind of goes along with buying some of these citrus if you have a juicer. I don't have one, never used one, but a lot of people have them, and they all are singing their praises about how much fun they are and how they use them. And obviously, the result out of that juicer is good for you.
So. Oh, absolutely. And I like the idea of adding some citrusy things to, like greens or,
yes,
you know,
yeah, good
make
idea.
Something healthier.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's a good idea. So I love all these suggestions. Also, again, this will be on our podcast page, newsradio923.com. Look for the Garden Line podcast. Of course, if you have a question, 850-437-1620. What do you want to talk about when we come back?
Roses. I think we need to. This is the time.
Oh, we're coming up on it.
Let's talk about roses a little bit. What kind to get, what not to get, and kind of how to plant them and how to take care of them. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay. We're going to get Rosie up in here on the Garden Line. You're listening to News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Jenna Barr hanging out with Mike Wiggins. Have that question, text it in, 850-437-1620.
People stay just a little bit longer. We won't play just a little bit longer. Now the promoter don't mind.
You're listening to the Garden Line on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Little Jackson Browne for your morning.
Jackson Browne. He has a little cover on the stay. I think the guy that originally did that, ready for this little trivia, I don't know where this comes from out of my head, Maurice Williams with the Zodiacs. Yes.
Oh.
But that was the original. But Jackson Browne, I think, does the best version ever.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the original one. There is like a remastered version,
right,
which is good too. It's a little bit more fine-tuned and but
exactly.
I like the original grainy version.
The female vocals as it gets later on in that song,
yeah, as it gets deeper,
are world class. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, incredible. Hey, we're about to talk roses here.
Yes,
on the Garden
are.
Line.
Here we go.
If you do have that question though, 850-437-1620. It's 9:20 here at News Radio. So it is fastly approaching Valentine's Day. You go into the store and it's puking red and pink all over us. That's the nice way of saying it's just too much. It's too much. I feel like, you know, we didn't even, I mean, I would have at least rather had some Mardi Gras time first.
Yes.
Right? Just let's. Plus, I love the Mardi Gras colors more than I do the Valentine's Day colors. But
exactly.
People are starting to think about roses.
Here they are, because that goes along with Valentine's. Let's talk about, number one, the different types of roses. Let's hit some of this real quick here. First of all, knockout roses is what so many people have planted. Let's put those off to the side for a minute and talk about some of your standard roses that have been around for years and years and years and predate the knockout roses. Okay. You've got a couple different kinds. You've got your tea rose. Your tea rose is the long stem rose that everybody sees. Everybody sends for anniversaries and special occasions. And that's a tea rose, probably the most used rose in the world before knockout came along. But that's a tea rose. Then grandiflora, which is an interesting rose, which is a taller growing plant than the tea rose, with a much larger bloom. That's called a grandiflora. The other side of that coin is the smaller growing rose with a smaller blossom, one that I really like. It's called a floribunda. Floribunda. Then you've got tree roses and you have miniature roses. Tree roses are some you can put on, like you can have been grafted, so there's a single trunk and it's got the head to it. But many times it's a tea rose grafted on a different rootstock. In any event, then there's miniature roses, which are just really roses, I think, for pots and containers that are really, really fun to grow. But the whole thing is you've got to have a couple of different things to look at before you buy these roses. Number one, only buy number one grade roses. Now, every rose sold that you see on a shelf should tell you on the tag whether it's a number one, a number two, or whatever. Only number one, because that means it's got the right amount of stalks, if you will, of growth to be successful. The other ones are cheaper, no question about it, but I just think because roses can be a challenge, you need to buy the number one roses. Now, varieties. There are thousands of varieties. I used to have this book that showed the roses that were named after people. I mean, John F. Kennedy, Barbara Streisand, all these people have roses named after them. But what I always recommended to someone who wanted to buy a rose, I used to have people come to me and say, Mike, I want to grow a rose garden. I'm going to buy a dozen roses of different kinds and put them out there. I said, I really would not do that. I would, number one, only plant a handful of roses. I would plant some of the absolute basic roses, such as a peace rose, a Mr. Lincoln, a Tropicana. Those are great standard roses that we know do well. But the reason I don't want you to plant a dozen of them is that roses do take extra care. There's no doubt about it, and you need to be sure it's what you want. Plus, you've got to have the right location. Anything less than full sun is not going to work. If you don't have full sun, you're probably not going to be in the rose business. And if you plant some, believe it or not, you've got to have pretty good air movement. Now, Jenna, I had, over the years, some friends and customers who lived at the beach, and believe it or not, on the leeward side of their house, away from the Gulf, away from the salt spray, they did pretty darn good. I had some good rose growers at the beach. You would think that wouldn't work.
Right.
You really
need
to keep
awesome.
Need to keep them away from the salt spray, of course. But they, you know, some a lot of sun, you know, of course, and so they really did well. Also, if you're going to plant a rose, and this is probably kind of a little bit off the technical side of this, is put them where you can see them. If you can look out your kitchen window and see your yard, plant, that's where to plant your rose. One, to enjoy them. Two, you can really early identify any problems you might have because you probably are going to have some problems. And then try not to plant them next to large trees or shrubs because they compete for water and nutrients and that type of thing. Now, okay, so you've picked out your rose. You've got your Mr. Lincoln rose, and you want to plant it. How do you plant it? Well, obviously dig a hole about 12 to 18 inches high. Mix up some Canadian sphagnum peat moss. Put about a cup full of limestone in with the hole, and mix all that up with the sand that's there. And then dig that sand and peat moss and lime mixture out, and build a little mound at the bottom of the hole, because then you're going to get those rose roots and kind of set them over that mound. And then you fill it. Now, how deep do you plant it? That's easy. Every rose you buy is going to be grafted. There are a few that aren't, but most of them are going to be grafted, which means the roots are different than the top. Because if you graft the top to the roots, because of that root system, it's going to grow better in our environment. But with the place where you where it's grafted is called the bud union, and it looks about as big as a golf ball. You'll see it, and you just want to plant it so that bud union is just a little bit or right at soil level, if you will. Then just backfill over it, mulch it, of course, with pine straw. That's always good. Keep the moisture in and keep it warm and water it good, and then trim it back to about 8 to 10 inches. And if you're trimming back a new rose, if there are any stalks on that rose that say are smaller than a pencil, I'd kind of trim those off. So you may be left with 3 or 4 nice stalks. And then go to it and take a lot of fertilizer. About every month you need to fertilize them with good rose fertilizer. Buy a fertilizer that's specifically marketed for roses. and go for it. About a half a cup per plant once a month. And then you got to watch out for the bad guys. You got to watch out for black spot. Black spot is easy to diagnose because it's a black spot on the leaves. This is what it is, a big black spot. That's a disease. Mildew looks like you put baby powder on the rose. That needs to be, all need to be treated with a fungicide. Then, of course, you've got your bad actors, all your insects, and aphids and that type of thing will get them. There are products on the market that are combination products, Jenna, where you can do insect control and disease control. Rose dust, there's some rose dust around that will do that. And some of the insect controls are systemic in that they work through the plant and some and work that way. So that's the rose, kind of the rose story in a real nutshell. You, of course, can have a whole college course on how to grow roses and how to pick roses, but those are some of the absolute basics. But they can be so satisfying, kind of like camellias, kind of like our friend Buzz and Skip.
Right.
Went to camellias, but you can get hooked on roses also.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, and absolutely something beautiful for your garden. You're listening to The Garden Line on News Radio. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to go and check in with the news with Mark Jacobs.
That goes on the list. Mark's singing. Look at
here.
Mark and they're bouncing around.
Oh, that made me so happy, y'all. We just had a dance party.
Isn't so that the truth?
Well, I guess we got to go and see what's coming up in the news, though.
It's so important to make someone happy. Make just one someone happy. Make just one heart to heart you. You sing to one smile that cheers you. One face that lights when it nears you. One girl, you're everything.
Good morning, good morning. You're listening to The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Jenna Barr, hanging out with Mike Wiggins. He is ready and waiting to answer your questions. Send in
here
those pictures. We were talking about roses before we went to the break, and I think it's time for me to transplant my rose again. Have I told you the story about my yellow roses?
I don't think you have.
Well, I'm not very good with plants. I have made this very clear, but the Garden Line has helped me grow. You like what I did there?
I like that.
But one of the things that I've been able to, and maybe it's because it was so meaningful, in 2015, for Mother's Day, my sister sent me a tiny little baby rose bush, and it was in a little basket, and no bigger than like a 4x4, right? And I was like, okay, here we go. This is the mission, to keep this bad boy alive. So I gave it lots of sun and water and then slowly watched her grow. And now she's in a massive planter. Now we've moved, so I haven't put her actually into the ground, but she's a gorgeous knockout rose.
Oh, yes.
And she's thriving. thriving. Now, I don't know. I think it's by the grace of God and how much I love my sister. Please don't die. Please just. But I also even, I mean, honestly, I even talked to her. I'm like, you're doing so great. You're and I think that the plants like it when you talk to them.
I don't think there's any question about it. They, I don't know. They, you know, plants like people.
They do.
There's no doubt.
They need us.
That's exactly,
and we need them.
That's right. But, you know, you bring up a good point, Jenna, about one other thing about roses I forgot to mention when I was rattling on a minute ago. If you're going to go buy a rose, and this may go back in the past. They may not do this much anymore. You used to buy roses wrapped in plastic. It'd have a picture of the rose on the front and have been kind of wrapped in plastic. The roots would be wrapped in plastic. And what was holding the moisture in was literally sawdust. Don't buy a rose like that. Don't do it. Buy that number one rose with the variety that we've talked about, and then be sure it's either been in a container, in a pot. That's the best way to do it. And if it is bare root, that is wrapped in good soil. But I would prefer you to buy a rose that's been transplanted or grown in a container. Many people have, you know, about 3-gallon pots, a lot of your good garden centers, 3-gallon pots with your roses. That's the way to do it. And then transplant it, obviously, now or February, whenever, and do it in the cold weather, of course, and then do the pruning on it, full sun, and have at it. But don't buy that rose that is wrapped in that cell, in that plastic. And generally, when those were for sale, like you could buy, I remember the day you could buy them for 99 cents, they were really poor quality, like number twos and number threes and not number one grade. So buy that number one grade. That is really important.
Okay. And can you repeat the best kind of fertilizer for our roses?
Well, that's easy. You will find on the garden, every garden center will have a rose fertilizer. It contains nitrogen, phosphate, potash, a lot of iron. And what you've got to have, of course, is a good granular, slow-release nitrogen. And a lot of times that's kind of a function of the amount of money you pay for it. A good quality rose fertilizer, it's not going to be expensive, but you can probably buy a 5 or 10 pound bag for maybe $10 or less. But be sure it's got good slow release granular nitrogen. That's important. And it contains iron, and I think most of them will. Most of the ones in the good garden centers will be of a good quality, but just it'll have rose fertilizer. That's a good way to do it.
It's worth the investment. That
exactly.
Is for sure.
And one other thing about that rose fertilizer, if you have to buy a 10-pound bag and you've got one rose and you don't need that much, it's good for some other blooming plants also. Oh, sure. Good for some of your annuals, so even some of your perennials. It's a great fertilizer for them, for blooming plants in Pensacola, especially your spring and summer growers. So don't feel like you've got to buy a big bag and just use it on the roses, but that is the one you need to start with if you've got a rose.
Okay, excellent. Roses, they have all these different meanings too. Like, so it'd be kind of, if you have a rose garden, there's a person I run by their house, they've got a victory garden. Mm-hmm. I forget, who is the guy who had the book Victory Garden? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh my gosh,
I do
my
not
brain.
Know his name. I
you kind of look like name. You could be brothers. Oh, Dave, no, I don't know why I almost said Davy
Crockett. Somebody listening knows.
Somebody listening knows.
Let us know.
Oh,
I bet they've got, it on their bookshelf, yeah.
And it was my grandmother's, and it was passed down to me. I actually gave it as a gift to my mother-in-law because she is very good with plants and can help bring all of mine back to life. But, the Victory Garden. But I love all the different gardens. And this is a great time of year really to kind of take a look at your yard if you're thinking about doing some refreshing or replanting and start planning. I'm sure that we'll get to that episode too.
No doubt about it.
Warm weather planning.
Yeah, big time. While you're talking about books, The Victory Garden, there is one of my favorite gardening books. It has a funny name, but for Pensacola, it's called Texas Gardening by Neil Sperry. Neil Sperry is the guru of talk radio in Texas. But in many, many parts of Texas, they have Zone 8 and Zone 9, kind of like we do here in Pensacola. And his book is full beautiful color pictures of annuals and perennials. And I mean, it starts from scratch. I mean, you need to buy a shovel, you need to buy a rake, and it goes through all kinds of different plants and flowers and categories, and it has some question and answer as you go through it. Neil Sperry, Texas Gardening.
Saw it at, I'm pretty sure Bailey's had it one day.
They could have. It's been around for years, but it's still very, very current as far as how to do things. And it's got a section that on roses.
By the way, I was close when I was talking about Victory Garden. So there is an actual novel called The Victory Garden. That's not what I'm talking about. And of course, you and I know where the Victory Gardens actually birthed from.
Right.
But what did I say? Davy Crockett's Victory Garden? No, it just says Crockett's Victory Garden.
Okay.
And
okay. I got you.
A well-known gardener, not as popular as you, Mike. Don't worry. But it's a great book. I had it on my shelf for years. Those are the kind of books where they're great too. You put it on your coffee table. It's excellent to take a look at, put tabs in, and then use it for that planning ahead of time.
Of course, a lot of these great books that many of us have used over the years are not used as much anymore because of the internet. I mean,
it's true.
If you want to,
I like flipping pages.
I do too. Oh no, I like to hold on to a book. But if you want to know how to prune roses, I mean, the internet is full of information.
We've got the videos.
Oh, and tell you exactly how to do it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, just have to be careful that what you're looking at will apply to us here in the South. In zone 8.
Zone 8.
Yeah, because sometimes we're a little bit different. But roses are kind of basic. You're going to plant roses the same way all over the country. You may do pruning on roses a little later up north. I mean, obviously you're not going to dig through the snow and do that.
No.
But here we do it. We prune roses, of course. If you've got existing roses or you're planting roses, you know, we've always said Valentine's Day is the day. You know, February 14th, that's the day that you can kind of work around to do your rose gardening.
Oh, absolutely. Make sure that you are, if you are giving roses to, they have the right meaning for the right person. However, for me, you'll never go wrong with a peach rose. It's been and forever will be my absolute favorite flower.
Really?
Oh, forever. My nickname was Peachy growing up. Yeah, I don't know why.
Peachy?
Peachy.
I never knew that.
But, yeah, I also do love that roses kind of, you know, give us those special meanings. It's more than just like, because a red rose, you know, they're pretty. Yeah. But there's so many other colors that we get to enjoy.
Yeah,
frankly, I'd rather get a camellia for Valentine's Day.
I hear you. And roses, of course, you know, they have a nice scent about them.
Oh, yes, yes.
Well, was it Shakespeare that said a rose by any other name would smell so sweet?
Yes. Yeah. See, look at that. We're going to start just quoting Shakespeare here on the Garden Line. Hey, if you have a question, 850-437-1620. You're listening to the Garden Line on News Radio. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, what are we going to share with them?
Well, it's a February deal, and it's a little bit away from plants, but we need to talk for about 2 or 3 minutes about purple martens and what you need to do right now.
Back here on the Garden Line on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. It's a lovely day here on the Garden Line, 850-437-1620. We did have a couple of texts come through, but first, Mike, over to you.
Well, I was going to talk just a few minutes about purple martens, which are birds, of course.
Adorable birds.
And they are great birds for our area in that they do two things. One, they're wonderful to watch as they swoop around, kind of like the blue angels, and they eat mosquitoes. But what you've got to do is know kind of their habits and what you've got to do if you want purple martens in your neighborhood. Number one, they're a swallow. Purple martens are a type of swallow. Somebody told me the other day, they said the Purple Martins coming to Inslee isn't quite as exciting as the Swallows going to Capistrano, but still it is fun for us. What they do, these birds winter over down in South America or Central Florida, in Central America, and in February they send up scouts to our area, to the south. And if they find a Martin house, which is a birdhouse that's on a tall pole away from trees, they will identify that, and then all the rest of the Martins, when they come in, the babies and everybody else will come, and they'll set up house in a Martin house. And then, of course, in the winter, they'll migrate back down south. It's funny, you talk about talking to plants, Jenna?
Yeah.
The literature will tell you that Martins like people. They congregate around people. And so if you've got a Martin house, you need to get it up and get it up now. Now, the old timers, and I'm sorry, I fall in that category. I'm an old timer. But they didn't have these nice aluminum Martin houses. They would have gourds. They would take gourds and they would poke holes in the gourds, and the Martins would set up house there. So anyway, if you have a Martin house or if you are thinking about it, now is the time, because if you miss the scouts, you may miss this year of having Martins at your house or literally in your neighborhood. And trust me, you will absolutely like it, because they really will hold down the insect and mosquito population, but they're also very pretty to watch.
Oh, yes.
The name tells it all. It's a purple Martin. It's a very shiny bird, shiny purple color. And they're fun to watch. But get that house. The reason I brought it up is if you're going to do it, get the house and get it up latter part of January, at least the first part of February, because depending on the weather, those scouts will come in and identify where they want to bring the rest of the family. So that's Purple Martins.
Purple Martin
purple
time.
Martins.
Hey, new fun word for me here on the Garden Line. What is your recommendation for the best scuppernong muscadine plant for this area, and where can we get one?
Oh, that's easy. Go to just buy a scuppernong vine, and I used to sell those. We'd pot them up, get them bare-rooted out of the north, out of Tennessee, and we'd put them in pots, little one-gallon pots, and you sell them, very inexpensive. Scuppernongs are easy to grow here. A lot of people plant them on an arbor or a trellises and that type of thing, and they're used, some people make scuppernong wine, no question about that. But it is very easy to grow scuppernongs, but go to your garden center, and what you need to do, you probably will need two varieties. So ask your garden center guy what variety he has and which variety he recommends you to plant for a pollinator.
Okay.
And then you'll be in business. Then just plant them like we normally do with some organic material, full sun. Give them something that vine to run up on, and you will have scuppernongs and really enjoy it. A scuppernong arbor, a lot of your older homes, I've noted some down in the Seville area, have these large arbors, and the scuppernong vines just totally cover it. So, yeah, go check on what varieties are available, but be sure to ask him if the variety you're buying needs a pollinator. Generally, they do.
Okay, excellent. Hey, another question. Should I wait to cut down all of the brown off of the banana trees, or can I cut them down now?
That's a great question, because I'm in the same dilemma with my elephant ears and with my banana plant. What I'm going to do is give it another couple of weeks and see what this weather does, especially this weather this weekend. If we get down into the low 30s, I think it's going to be time just to cut them back. People want to grow bananas and have bananas to eat, or at least to look at, to say they grew them. But you got to have 24 months without those plants freezing back. So if you cut it back, and it will come back. It'll come back strong next year. Don't expect to have bananas. You'll have to hope that the next year has no really cold weather. Same on the elephant ears. I'm going to have to cut mine back. They are looking rough. Half the leaves are brown, and it really looks bad. So I may go ahead and cut that back. But they will come back, both of them, elephant ears and the banana plant. So have at it. I think I'm being a little too optimistic to think they're going to make it, especially with the kind of the trend we've got right now with these fronts coming through and going down into the low 30s. Well, one of these fronts is going to take us to the mid-20s, and then you know you got to cut it back then because it'll be brown as it can be. So
it'll be a little chilly. Do that pruning. Okay, we're going to wrap things up here on the Garden Line. We've got to take another quick break before we go. If you want to squeeze in one final question, I can get over to Mike, 850-437-1620. To the Garden Line on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Jenna Barr. It is Tuesday. We're wrapping things up here with Mike Wiggins. Wanted to let y'all know we had some technical difficulties today with our text line, so I'm going to go ahead and make an entire list of all of your questions that came in that we could not get to, and we will be sure to start out next week's show with them.
That sounds great. Let's do that.
We love our listeners so much. I almost played the armadillo song for them, but I love them too much for that.
No, we love them, but no, we can't do that. You get me all nervous over here.
Yeah, but what do we have to look forward to for next week's show?
Well, let me tell you, here's what we're going to do next week. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about next week with a one-sentence Chinese proverb. You ready? The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The next best time is
today.
Yeah. We're going to talk about the benefit of some trees, what trees do best for us, how to plant them, why we plant them, and go through some trees. And then I've got some other information on some new varieties of grass out there I want to talk about. We've got a whole list of stuff here on the Garden Line, and we look forward to next week. And we really look forward to your phone calls or texts next week also.
Oh, absolutely. Tune in next Tuesday, 9 a.m. with Mike Wiggins. We'll make sure we answer your questions. And stay tuned. Bob Burgi is joining us with a couple special guests here on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
News, talk, traffic, and weather. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
It's 10 o'clock.